It's... Oh, God. So it's, like, peach-flavored, so... It's,
Is it purple-flavored? Hey! Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, episode 27 of Clockwork Purple here over in Mochi Studios. As Dan came back.
I'm back. I'm here.
You're here and you're drinking Alpha Brain.
Yeah, this...
It's rough. It's rough here in the streets.
This has been an interesting week. No. This is Audio Face, a podcast about music and culture.
And music culture.
And all the things. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
You're Sean. And I'm usually in Free Speech Studios up in Berkeley, but it's Thanksgiving weekend, so down in Mochi Studios, enjoying it.
Yeah, it's fun.
So as far as music goes, a lot of people did like take a break this week. Not us, because we're for the people. But music-wise, there's a good bit to go over. We have a review of Noel Gallagher's new album, as well as Björk, because we talked about that. Mm-hmm. Hope you checked out the Björk bonus episode we dropped.
Sean dropped
like deep state knowledge on Björk.
I dropped hella knowledge. Don't sleep.
Yeah, and a lot of news, and yeah, it's going to be a nice little Sunday episode.
Nothing too crazy. Kind of small, short podcast.
A nice way to round out normal November. No bullshit, just did everything. It's November.
You got to make sure you're nut.
Got to make sure you're nut?
Because it's No Nut November.
Oh, God. I forgot about that.
Fucking hipsters.
Oh, man. Okay. So, just to start, the first thing on the rundown right now, Russell Simmons. He's the co-founder of Def Jam Records, and he is one of the latest to be accused of sexual assault by someone. It's just, like, there's not really much to say. This has been happening... kind of like for about a month since the Weinstein stuff started happening. And thankfully, people are finally coming out or like feel the... They say Alpha Brain's supposed to help you talk. It really isn't. But for it.
Like it's helping people...
People are empowered.
Empowering people to explain their shitty situations and get... It's helping for the people. Bring down to the top people that have run them in the past.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's 40 years ago or if it's 40 seconds ago, it's going to get out there. So stop raping people, people.
Yeah, basically.
It's going to get out there, guys.
And it's like it's everywhere. It's in every single industry. Yeah, it's happening a lot in the entertainment industry as well. And a lot of people are saying, oh, this is an entertainment thing. But no, we're finding out about this because we're finding out about this happening in the public-facing industries. So politics is very public-facing for now. Apparently. That's what they tell us. Politics is public-facing. Entertainment media is very public-facing.
Right.
But it's not like bosses in other jobs that we don't see every day aren't sexually assaulting people as well. So,
well,
I mean, yeah. But it's good that, yeah, we have the environment in which people feel empowered to come out about this stuff. But that's enough of that. Let's go to more music stuff. Beyonce has replaced Taylor Swift as the richest woman in music. Thank God. I'm much happier with this because I don't get why. Well, I know why, but no politics.
Jeez.
So Beyonce is the highest earning woman in music for 2017, according to Forbes. Adele is number two, and Taylor Swift, who was 2016's richest woman, is now number three. And just so you know the numbers, Forbes suggests that her pre-tax income, Beyonce's, was $105
million. Jesus Christ.
Pay your taxes. And then followed by Adele at $69 million and Taylor Swift at $44 million. So just interesting see how it stacks up. And I'm just so happy that it's not Taylor Swift at number one, just for my own personal reasons. And that might change next year, especially because she just dropped an album. It was an exclusive album that was hard to get. And usually with those exclusivity deals, you get a lot of money.
Right.
So, there's
that. Interesting to say the least. I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, they make a fuck ton of money.
Also worth noting, the rest of the list, Celine Dion's at number 4, Jennifer Lopez at 5, Dolly Parton at 6, Rihanna at 7, Britney Spears 8, Katy Perry 9, and Barbra Streisand. Barbara Streisand. Yeah, still kicking in at $30 million. Oh,
it's because
next story.
Just please, thank you.
continuing on this like similar topic, there's an interesting article in Fader about why it's hard for women to break like the pop charts, and
really,
yeah. Because there's a lot, like, 2017, and we've talked about this a lot, it's a really good year for, like, new women artists, I guess. And there's a lot of that.
Yeah. Even, like, a different... In all genres. Yeah, in all genres. And especially genres dominated by males, too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of electronic stuff this year. I've seen a lot more women artists, you know, chart and whatnot.
That's very true, because we often forget how male-dominated or, like, male-centric music can often be as an industry, because a lot of the... We say front men of bands. And, of course, there are popular, prominent women who are musicians as well. But, yeah, especially in electronic music, it's, yeah, a lot of dude DJs. It's what makes Rez so, like... It's nice to see.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. This article talks a lot about Dua Lipa, Cardi B, all these other artists. I can even think of a couple other, but do you think there's some institutional pressure that's preventing people or preventing women from getting on the charts? As like, it's not like it's not happening at all, but is it making it harder for women per se, or what do you think?
I mean, these are a load of things. It's the whole industry in itself. It depends too, because some people, even some women and whatnot, don't like women voices in bands,
right,
and stuff. It's just kind of a preference, and I see that a lot. I mean, I don't know if that is a big reason to that, but I know a couple of like friends of mine that do that, that really don't like women voices in certain things, and then certain things they do. So yeah. I don't know if that doesn't help it too, where it's like, okay, they just don't like the voices, or it could be like the whole industry, or
I think it's...
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors. It could be also producers being assholes and stuff, but they're assholes to everybody, so...
But there's especially an element with, like, and we've seen this before, with a lot of, even with Taylor Swift, predatory producers
And
things like that. But I was also reading more of the article, and it also talks about more of these institutional issues. And one big thing is, like... So, for starters, in general, it's harder to launch careers right now. And so those, especially in music, and so those same barriers that would exist for any musician to start with, for a woman musician starting out, that's already that barrier to start with, just being a musician by default. The article also suggests that charts are not that big of a like motivator for music anymore. According to this author, who I should really give credit to, Amy Cliff from Fader. But they said that, charts are not the priority for artists anymore. And I don't know why that ever was a priority.
They really shouldn't be.
But at the same time, like, in order to reach that next level, you need recognition. And unfortunately, we derive recognition from charts and shit, which is annoying. And then the third thing I saw, which is also very true, and this happens all the time, are that women artists of color often get typecasted into a genre just because they're like a woman of color. So if you're a black woman singer, then you might automatically be put into the R&B category, even if what you're doing isn't R&B, or even if someone else were doing it, or if someone white were doing it, and say, oh, this is electronic, this is pop. And so by segmenting the genres away, or by like putting people in the genres immediately, you almost build in what that audience is going to be, and with that are the upsides and downsides of that audience.
Okay.
So, there's definitely a lot to go from there. I love how we have, of course, no one can see this, but we have an aquarium set up, just chromecasting to a TV here, and you can just, like, see all the fish moving around. I dig it.
It's very fun.
Opulent, so podcast should be done.
Right. All right.
Yes, fun. So, Noel Gallagher's new album, Who Built the Moon, came out.
Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds.
High Flying Birds, yes.
That's the name of his band.
I forget. It's like it's a band, and I shouldn't forget that there's also a band too. But
who? And then the album is Who Built the Moon.
Yes.
Bees.
obviously the moon was built by the flat earthers.
built by Onnit.
Oh, in IT.
Now, you just see a little, it looks like a...
it's like the crater, but the little, like, in.
Yeah, yeah, in exactly. The moon. Yeah. It's stupid.
Yeah, gotta be real. I am trying... So I literally just found some of the Alpha Brain powder at a supermarket, and I was like, oh, shit, this is actually Alpha Brain. I'm down. I'll get it. And I got it, and I put it into my drink, and it is not great. And I don't feel any better at recording or, like, speaking right now, so...
Is it Purple Brain or what? Purple Rain, Purple Rain.
What do you think about the album?
So, actually, it surprised me. I really liked it. It took a different direction than I thought it would go. It went down the what good alternative music can be, where it's like you have that blend of modern production quality with normal instruments plus some electronic stuff into it, but not what everybody's been doing and just overloading it too much. It's pretty solid. Kind of not too similar to the Horrors album, but in the way that the vocals aren't overpowering and understated, and everything else supports it, and it, like, so it's a really good, everything is in unison, everything's in harmony together, where not one thing is sticking out too much.
Right.
That makes any sense. Like my favorite song on the album, which is She Taught Me How to Fly, it's really good, upbeat too. That's something I didn't plan on, was how upbeat the album is.
Yeah,
I'll say this in the review for the other album we're gonna do, is the same thing, where it's like, okay, wow, it's actually pretty upbeat and happy, and I didn't really expect that. Overall, pretty good. Every song is basically how long it needs to be. Nothing is too long or anything. I mean, some of them are 5 minutes, 5:40, I think, is the longest song, which for me, I like, but I think some people could think it's a little bit too long, but I like it. Good album overall.
Yeah, so first off, the cover is just, like,
really cover's pretty cool
looking. It looks like a woman is, like, on a canyon or, like, in a valley, just, like, looking in the sky. Has a sort of, like, green edit color to it that's just really dope looking. So, you know, I judge albums by their covers, and so that was good. Now, but yeah, I like a lot of what she said, that there's refinement to this album because nothing is too overpowering throughout the entire experience. That's what I really like about that. Keep On Reaching was actually my favorite song, because we were talking about this right before. I usually land somewhere between the second or fourth and oftentimes the third song in an album. Usually ends up being my favorite. Don't know why it always turns out that way, but yeah, it just has that really, like, upbeat flow to it. And yeah, the rest is just really kind of sticking to alternative and keeping things in that, like, zone while still making it sound fresh, but not... I think fresh has become, and we talked about this ad nauseum, but fresh and making things different has just become adding things that don't necessarily work to...
Like the Daft Punk song Fresh, or what? That's a damn good song. 20 years...
Oh my god, your knowledge of, like, random songs is amazing.
So, like, 20 years later, fresh is still good. Sounds like ocean waves. Don't sleep.
But, yeah, too often when artists try to make a new album, they just add things that have no business being added to that album musically. So, like, that's where you get the unnecessary and annoying trap snares and all these other things.
Yeah, which, like, the worst one is Foster the People.
Right.
Like, that was the most disappointing. Oh, that's hella going on my awards list.
Yeah.
Like, most disappointed trap snare drum sound of the year. Or I go, you made some good shit and now you just...
It's some specific ass awards.
Oof.
But
it's very... Oh, the awards are gonna be beautiful. Worst haircut.
This is gonna be so lit. But go on.
No.
Oh, no. No. Nope. All right. We're moving on then. No. But
it's a good album. I like it.
I really liked... I'm always hit or miss with, like, interludes and other things you add into the middle of the album, because sometimes
you
can change up the flow. Some artists just, like, don't know what they're doing with them.
Like, the Gorillaz and ones I hated because it was really random and it was awkward.
Yeah. And this doesn't... Like, the interludes in here are really nice. They are really instrumentally kind of, like, complicated as well, too, which are nice. Oftentimes, interludes just, like, very simple get-betweens between, like, one vibe of the part of an album and the other. But no, these felt like songs and things in their own. So just the production quality is stellar in this. And so I'm glad to see that. We've gotten two albums from the one album each from Gallagher's.
Mm-hmm.
And leading up to this, another thing that's not about the music, but also about the music. I hate that NME has become the Gallagher Network.
Oh my god. Every other article is Gallagher. Okay, like, it's cool, but...
Liam Gallagher picks his nose. Liam Gallagher says something offensive about Damon Albarn.
This is 1995. Yeah. At least it's not Morrissey talking about how...
At least it's not Morrissey talking, period.
I hit that break hard.
Ever since we reviewed Morrissey, because you know we're such an influential podcast, everyone has just been hammering, going on Morrissey, just like, I can't believe you're this horrible.
Like, and it's odd.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it from him.
It's odd, it's just like kind of a lot, but nevertheless, I hate how NME, because we get a lot of sourcing for our stories we do in Audioface from NME, the English music magazine publication, right? But so many of their stories, a disproportionate amount, have to do with Liam and Noel Gallagher.
Seriously, like, it's unbelievable where this, the past 3-4 months, every time I go on there, if you just do one half scroll, there's an article of one of them.
Yeah.
At least one.
Yeah. When you go to the NME's, like, music page, and you go to the news, and it gives you, like,
let me see.
One page or three. Yeah, do that test to see. Do 5 pages of NME and see how many times Noel or Liam Gallagher comes up. Because you would think that this is the Britpop Wars of the 90s, and Oasis and Blur are still at it. You would think, just based off of NME's coverage. But it's just... so
here's who Noel Gallagher thinks should play him in a movie. Save 20% on Liam Gallagher's As You Were this Black Friday weekend.
It's totally clear. They're just shills. NME is shilling heavy for their
Noel Gallagher record. Reveal why he never pays for black cabs anymore. Okay.
Noel Gallagher dismisses claims he sounds like Ricky Martin. Noel Gallagher reveals the one gig that made him feel nervous. Like, and there's the rest of the music news being covered. Noel Gallagher responds to suggestions that he coordinated album release with Liam for publicity. Now, the only... publicity thing I see is that the Gallaghers must be, like, paying all of NME to keep doing all of these, like, different pieces, because there's no reason that these brothers, decent musicians, totally fine, but there's no reason they deserve this much coverage.
Right.
It's such a disproportionate amount. And I've been wanting to write about that for a while, but we finally have a chance to. I finally did. Got that out. Okay, all good. But otherwise, how do you want to arbitrarily score it this week? Letters. We did numbers last time.
We've done numbers. I had to do percent the last time I calculated. That's too much. I'm way too tired. I feel weird this morning.
Need some Alvarin?
No. I'm gonna start spewing random communist shit at you.
Three alpha brains later.
Right. Hey, Mom, I'm just contemplating the eventual collapse of capitalist societies, and I'm also on drugs.
No, basically not. Berkeley in a nutshell.
Right. Out of...
it's a letter grade, so...
S through Z. A Z being A, and S being F.
Kill yourself.
Right. I'm gonna give this...
sorry.
Wow! Shit! We haven't said that since July, I think.
Yeah, my bad.
Oof, alright. Okay, so A through F.
No, so S is like an F.
Yes.
And Zed would be like an A. Okay. I would rank this album...
letters in between.
Okay, so I have another question. Is plus minus and minus plus? No, is that too complicated?
Yes. I don't even know. I know what you meant by it. I just want to agree just to make your alpha brain work harder. Hey, Alex Jones, is alpha brain going to make you calculate faster or what?
Hey, Alex Jones, is alpha brain going to make you lose that lawsuit for revenge porn or what? No politics.
Jesus Christ, this podcast is taking off.
I just have no chill.
Yeah, you were also drunk as dicks last night and fucking laughing on everything. That was hilarious.
Mistakes were made. Mistakes were made. I'll give it a Y. Like, or the rough equivalent to a B.
I was gonna give it a Z and a half or a Y.
A Z and a half. I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
It's good. It's good album. Listen to it. Done. Anyways, really, really, really good musicians. One of my favorite bands ever, Sigur Rós. They're doing a festival thing, which I don't even know how to.
Well, a lot of artists.
Nordur og Nidur festival.
Ah.
I don't even know how to. Like, I guess that's.
That's the best we can do. Nordur og Nidur, I guess.
Yeah, but the D's are pronounced like T's. I just know that because a couple of the songs they make. Nerd. They're having a big festival, which they've been like talking about this whole year, pretty much, like slowly but surely releasing all the artists that they're gonna have. But it's gonna be in Reykjavik, Iceland, from December 27th through the 30th. And what they're doing is having a big music festival of all of like local bands there, bands that they've coordinated with in the past that they like, and themselves, along with like other associated acts like Alex Summers and stuff, who's Yonzi's partner. But I think this is a really, really cool, where every time they're slowly but surely releasing all the artists that are going to play at this music festival. And I like this, where a big name band is having artists that maybe no one has heard of outside of Iceland, or maybe out of Europe. Some people maybe have heard of them, but certainly here in the US you haven't heard of most of these bands unless you're deep state Iceland or something. And it's cool. It's a good way to get out a lot of local small bands out there, and you know, have some really good music played, especially because Sigur Rós are damn good. And you know, yeah, especially what the hell they're doing.
I am super interested in this, in addition to the aspect of Sigur Rós putting on a festival, is because artists putting on festivals is still kind of a new phenomenon, at least to me.
Yeah, no, it is.
Because I immediately think of like Gorillaz, Demon Days, or Mad Decent Block Party.
Mm-hmm. It's been done, but it's getting more popular, I guess, is the way to say.
Because it's a new way for artists to make money, kind of like expose people to new work. It's like exactly what you're saying. It makes music, like, it just brings a lot more to music and brings a lot more for people to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
When they're like at these concerts, because you can discover things that are like Sigur Rós and then Sigur Rós adjacent, or things that are like entirely different but still kind of fit into the mood. And
yep,
it's, I like that festivals, like these types of festivals put on by artists, are kind of almost like a cheese platter, like a selection of what that artist likes, a little way to kind of like get an idea of how Sigur Rós as a group kind of thinks musically and where they get their inspiration from.
Right.
And it's a nice manifestation to have that out, where everyone can go see all these bands live in concert. And oftentimes at these performances, like at festivals like this, the bands that are like performing all at the festival will mm-hmm. sometimes join each other's sets. And so you get like live collaboration.
Yeah.
In a really organic, awesome way. I like these in general. I just hope it continues like this tradition of, I guess what it's doing right now for music is good. I just want it to stay that way, because I can easily see this becoming like a sellout system making money, where it's just like, yeah, you know what I mean.
But usually a lot of the people who do this are doing it for the music as well. Like,
yeah, in this case. That.
In this case, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of it more as like a long-term business model. But for Sigur Rós, I have no worries about that.
They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They were. I think Yonzi once said he didn't care if they were big on the American market or not. Like, you're cool for saying that.
Well, yeah, that's...
Because they just, like, they do what they do.
Yeah.
That's it.
And they're... I think you have to be a semi-established band to do one of these things.
Mm-hmm. Because or else you're not going to have the people go and sign up for you if they don't know who the hell you are.
Yeah. Next, do you want to go into Post Malone territory? Full Post Malone.
First off, I don't even know who the fuck this guy was. Somehow, I mean, we have a music podcast. I never claim to know everything, especially in rap, because it's a... I was about to say something really bad.
And here's the thing. I never listened to Post Malone's music before, because garbage is not one of my favorite genres of music. So I just genuinely don't listen. No, but I really didn't, like, neither Sean nor I knew much about Post Malone before this week, when the reason we're talking about him is because he's had some little controversy. He made some statements about hip-hop that some people had problems with. He said, if you're looking to think about life, don't listen to hip-hop. He was kind of making the argument that, well, here's his direct quote. There's great hip-hop songs where they talk about life and spit that real shit, but right now there's not a lot of people talking about real shit.
First off, also, it says, Post Malone blames controversial hip-hop comments on alcohol. News update.
Okay, you know, I'll address that at the end.
No.
I give you my immediate take, the podcast will be over, because I can't say that. But, so, let's take this as reasonably as we can at first, and then shit on it. Yeah. So, the point he made, is just trying to make originally, seems somewhat adjacent to what we've talked about on Audio Face, especially relating to trap. About how, based on the subject matter in some of these songs, it's kind of, like, the subject matter can be jarring for people. Like, it could be, like, a hit or miss. Either you're, like, into it, or you just, like, don't care. Right. Or it turns you off from the genre or the music so much you just, like, aren't into it. And for that, that's a lot of people. It doesn't have to be that way, but sure. But that's the most leeway I can give Post Malone. The rest of this, just by saying, like, there is no, whenever I want to cry, whenever I want to sit down and have a nice cry, I'll listen to Bob Dylan. So he's trying to say that just, like, hip-hop today is devoid of lyrics about emotion, or, like, devoid of lyrics about, like, anything, like, cry life real like that. What do you think about it so far?
Well, because, has he listened to Bag Back from Vince Staples, or what? Has he, like, Big Fish Theory, the entire fucking album is that. Have you listened to it?
Yeah. You don't, you know. There's, even this year alone, because Keith Olbermann.
I just typed in.
What?
Vince Staples wonders if Future's verse on 3500 would make Post Malone cry. This is my favorite guy in the world. This is what happens when you're brought up in Long Beach, guys. You get woke.
No, what happens when you get, like, what happens when you grow up in Long Beach is just you lose all tolerance for bullshit.
He also, NPR, Vince Staples believes he deserves all the Grammys, but he isn't holding his breath. I'll give it to you. Fuck it, why not?
We'll create 6 awards for you, Vince Staples.
Right? Oh, Vince Staples gets his own award because the Vince Staples award of how woke are you, least corny man in America. I mean, it dropped bar, the greatest bar of all time. The next book Gates be up in Section 8, but in the projects. Like, damn.
Yeah, but to get back to this whole Post Malone bullshit, like, it is not hard at all to listen to any rap album that's come out this year and actually pay attention to the fucking lyrics. Like, pull up Genius on your phone and pay attention to the lyrics, and you'll see. They're rapping about life. They're rapping about crying. They're rapping about everything. There's a whole range of emotions because that's how fucking music works.
Right.
And it's 2017. And a lot of people can make music really quickly. And a lot of times that's a problem. I think for Post Malone, that's a problem. Because just because he makes music and makes music quickly, none of it is good. We tried to listen to one of his past albums. It was shit. We tried to listen to that Justin Bieber single that he had. That's the only reason he's, like, charting anywhere. Also garbage. Like, it's, honestly, I don't get why this.
Because people like basketball and he was, like, doing some stupid White Iverson song 2 years ago or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sorry.
I don't get all the hype.
This is a tubby.
He's the fucking, he's supreme of rap.
Yeah. I'm looking at this picture of him. I gotta just be real. He's a tubby white dude who looks like he has a bowl cut but with a receding hairline at the same time. See what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
So, I don't know what this, I don't know what this guy is. I really had to stop myself. I almost went there. I don't know what this guy is trying to say about hip-hop, and I don't know why he thinks he's any sort of authority on it. But yeah, like, everyone went after him. 21 Savage, I think, had the
great. 21.
I think 21 Savage's open letter, I think, kind of summed everything.
21.
Summed up everything well. And considering I can barely speak because of this fucking alpha brain, I should just go with that. So he posted this note from Instagram that said, "Why do so many of these quote-unquote OG rappers judge the new generation? They say we make drug-using music, like making drug-selling music is better. What's the difference? What about the fact that rap is the number one genre of music right now? None of y'all acknowledge that. Artists have been snorting cocaine and smoking crack since the 70s and 80s. Did y'all forget that? Instead of judging, how about y'all make a change? If the message in the previous generation of rap was so good, why did so many of our parents abandon us for crack? Why are we still killing each other? Don't use us as a scapegoat. Our music is a reflection of what's going on in our community, and all we're doing is trying to use our talent to escape that community."
Damn. Don't. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like, 8 bars in my Snapchat.
And this is why Sean doesn't rap.
No, God, no.
No, the like...
fuck? I play piano, Christ's sake.
21, like, he summarized... Like, that's the perfect comment for Post Malone, by the way. Like, that's the perfect counterbalance. That,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many... I mean... What I just said with Vince Staples, there's so many against it where it's like, this guy is stupid. And then apparently he's on the alcohol.
I mean, like...
That's backtracking so hard.
I can tell Post Malone has no talent because...
Damn.
That's such a bad lie. It's such a weak lie. Like, it just... That was such a bad excuse. It's not even like a valid excuse. What you said... Like, that was your opinion. If you're wrong... Own up to it, because you've been proven extremely fucking wrong. Just say, hey, you know what, I haven't exposed myself to as much hip-hop as I should have, yeah. And now that I understand that, my statements in the past were dumb, because they are, my bad.
Right.
But no, like, this guy just like...
I mean, even look at Jay-Z's shit. Like, what the hell? Like, it's like so...
Literally this year!
It's so easy, yeah. I mean, look at why can't I think of the stupid song? The one, the music video of Credit.
Sorry, OJ.
That entire song.
Well, that...
Well, I mean, it's like...
It, I mean, a cracker, like... I don't care. Fuck it. I mean, I can't say that. Someone like Post Malone...
Jesus Christ.
Would never understand Jay-Z's album, all right? There's a skin color difference there. Like, that album was
See,
not...
I get the album, but that's because, like, I've been around...
Yeah.
I was, wow. We can't...
So
I blame it on Alpha Brain.
I blame the Alpha Brain. No, but, like, this album was not written... Like 444 Jay-Z's album was not written for Post Malone. Right?
No,
it was not written for him to understand, and he needs to just reconcile with the fact that he doesn't understand... hip-hop. And so...
Doesn't at all.
Just apologize for your fucking comments. Don't do this corny bullshit like this. And don't join...
Most corny man in America.
Yeah, don't... There you go. Don't join that, like, dumbass bandwagon where people all of a sudden say, oh, all this new rap is garbage because it doesn't talk about anything. I don't care. I'm so over it. So over it.
Back, you chipping.
Let's talk about Bjork.
Alright!
Let's just talk about Bjork.
Let's get on to... Fucking damn good music.
Yeah.
Let's get on to the one, the only, Bjork, the most eclectic woman in music.
So we talked about Bjork ad nauseum a little bit in the last episode, a lot in the bonus episode that we did about all of her work coming out. So this is Utopia. If you need to learn more about Bjork, listen to that shit. But, yeah, what'd you think? We both listened to this album together for the first time, which is really cool.
I want you to go first. I went first last time. Yeah, I want to hear what you say.
Okay, so with, let me just get this ready so I have, like, all in front of me. So going in and now, like, having listened to Bjork originally, this is different from, well, all of her albums are different from all of them, right?
Pretty much.
But at least compared to the last album,
Kura.
Yeah, that one, Volnakura. It's more upbeat, but I don't want to say... If I say upbeat, that will give people the wrong impression.
Yeah, okay.
Because... this is the term I used for before. I called it upbeat ambient.
It's very ambient.
Yeah, because there's not a lot in the way of, like... It's
like Sigaros, yeah. Basically, like Sigaros's early stuff is like that.
Yeah,
exactly. Where it's that light, airy, a lot of strings. She used a big flute orchestra that she directed herself, all female Icelandic flute Orchestra, I believe.
That's how you get woke, right?
Like, Bjork is like,
oh, not
deep
women,
state feminist.
Oh, not enough women in music? I got you.
Like, she's deep state feminist. And so she composed and directed all of the orchestra for the album, and it's really, really good. Sorry to take it over, but I was trying to...
I was trying to say what the album was, and then kind of give my opinion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, given that it's, like, more upbeat, it's, like, nicer in tone, and given all of those things, I liked it. However, I'm still not used to Bjork's, like, mix of... I'm still not used to the way Bjork's music sounds, I guess.
Because you haven't listened to it. I've listened to it since I was a kid, so I know the evolution and the weirdness.
Yeah. So for me, even though, like, it's not... That's not to say it's bad at all. No. It's just that...
It's different.
Oh, it's very different, and it's good different. I like that. It's just that because of ambience is not, like, what I go to in music usually, just, like, that alone built in, I'm, like... wasn't... It's just really hard to describe.
I'll go into it. So, it's a long album. There's a couple songs that ran a little long for me. But, like Vonokura, is very string heavy. But there's a couple songs that had the electronic stuff, like a couple of her previous albums and whatnot. So, but how it's more upbeat is in the lyrics, in her tone of voice. Because in Vonokura, you could hear it with, like, the first song... I can't think of the first song. Stone Milker, which is gorgeous.
Wait, the first song on...
No, on Vonokura.
Oh, yeah.
Stone Milker, just gorgeous, but if you listen to it, you're like, damn, like, she's, like, belting to like, get her emotions out there. Because she just, you know, relationship with her partner ended in 2014, 2013 or something. So that's her big thing. And this one is, you can hear how happy she is in the album. You can hear that she's kind of in a better place, if that makes any sense. Just because of all the lyrics in it and the way she's singing more happy. It's not like a sad singing.
Yeah.
Which you can tell in her voice very, very well when it's one or the other. You can really hear it. So in this one, that's where it's like it's more upbeat. It's not upbeat in general, not like Noel Gallagher's album, which that is just upbeat. That's just upbeat in general. This one is like...
The better word's mood here.
Yeah, it's very upbeat mood. It's more happy compared to her last album, which is good because now you could see that she's in a better place and she's happy. And she even stated that in a couple of interviews. Like, yeah. I listened to an interview with her an NPR back in May when she had like a little... exhibit thing going on in LA, which I should have gone to, but that was when my toe was up and I couldn't really walk. So she was saying that, she's like, yeah, I'm really happy, this is like my Tinder album, but not really. Like, it's like, okay, like, I'm out there again, like, yeah. I'm having fun with friends, going out and this and that, which is awesome, which is what you need to do. So very good, just different than I thought. And I love how the album cover, she's holding like a weird flute thing. I go, well, that's very fitting for the whole album because it's very heavily lots of flutes and strings. So good, I like it.
Yeah, personally.
Different, but that's always different.
Yeah, it's just it's hard to really overstate how different the album is. And that's not, definitely, it's not a bad thing at all. It's just hard to compare it to, because a lot of other music you can just easily compare to things. But that's, I think, what is hard for me to describe, is that there's nothing to compare this album to.
Yeah.
It's so different. It's such its own thing. And because of that, I have to really pay attention to all the instrumentation, which is beautiful altogether. And we haven't talked enough about Bjork's vocals and how strong they are in this album, specifically. And... her voice, one thing that did stick out to me was how much her voice is part of the instrumentation.
Yeah, she's figured out a good mix, a good blend with it. It's not super overpowering. It can be overpowering at times, but in a good way, where it's meant to be overpowering. It's not like The Killers, where The Killers is supposed to be banned, but Brandon Flowers' voice, he has it too much.
Yeah.
Where it's like, go in the studio and just turn that down a notch. Where this is like, it's supposed to be that way. That makes any sense.
Yeah, because Yeah, because Björk's voice fits in so much with all the other instruments, and they work together. It's another instrument. Her voice keeps rhythm, it keeps beat, it lets you kind of know where you are in the song as well. It like has that actual function that not enough artists do, I don't think. A lot of artists divorce the two, but it's put together. But yeah, all in all, I will definitely give it more listens because I just love how different it is. I love that. But it's just going to take me a lot more to really figure out exactly how I feel about it, just because it is very different. But I'm going to give her so many points for doing different, because that's bold and that's something she does consistently. I'm also going to give points for refinement and evolution of her sound, for sure, because as this should be, this is her most refined album to date, I would say. As it should be. If you've been doing this for so long, you've made mistakes, you've done things really well. Now it's about doing all that balance and then still pushing forward.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some like mishaps there too. Like you said, the runs on the, the album runs on kind of long. And so it is the songs.
Yeah.
And yeah, there are a lot of songs that just, it had that, I don't feel like this needed to be here thing too.
Yeah.
But
I could see that.
At the same time, I've felt that with albums before and I've just gone, I don't need this song to be here. And it's also bad. There are songs I didn't need to be there, but there are still good songs. So that's, this is all throwing me for such a loop. So it's really confusing. But if we get down to the score of it, I would say about, oh God, we're doing the dumb scoring thing with the letters.
Just to go A through F.
X. Or C. No. That's not true. I still put, I'm just going to go with a Y or B. Because I am giving those points for refinement, having this long career, also sounding awesome. But because I have nothing to compare it to, and because it's still kind of a lot out there, and I still feel like there's some missing pieces to it, like it still doesn't feel like a complete thing, I can't like A it. But you also have a lot, you have a way different perspective.
I'm giving it a solid Z minus or A minus. Where it's good because it's a different sound. I mean, I would give it a solid A if it didn't run long, because there's two songs where I thought ran a bit long. But I mean, she does that sometimes. So, yeah, I know, because I know her discography. So, I like it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much more. I mean, there's not too much more to say. Just listen to it. Anyways.
And, yeah, just listen to it.
Just fucking listen to it. More musica.
Nerd, so No One Ever Really Dies, Nerd, their new album, which is, I guess, just called No One Ever Really Dies.
Nerd.
It's coming out on the 15th of December, so we'll be getting that really soon. We were thinking that'd be like a 2018 thing maybe, but no, even sooner.
Which is dope.
Yeah, I feel like by that point we will just have like done our award show and everything and be like mostly done, but...
Maybe. I'll be in Colorado for that week.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm coming back the 15th, though, so...
Yeah, that's why I'm coming back out here, too. So that's...
That works out.
That works out. But yeah, it's star-studded. I mean, there's Rihanna, Gucci, Future, Andre 3000, Goose. Kendrick's on two albums. There's one song with M.I.A. and Kendrick.
The fuck?
Noted Little Bitch Ed Sheeran makes an appearance at the end of the album. And so there's... And it's very collaborator heavy, so this will be interesting. I'm actually very interested to see how this album turns out. Because right now, it's really looking one of two ways. Lemon was a good single to start off with. I really like that, but could go one of two ways.
Uncle Rap.
I don't know. No, I don't think it'll be Uncle Rap. No, it's just that I am worried that it's a star fuck.
I was about to say, yeah, it could very easily go like, okay, this is... A bit too much.
Yeah, it can easily feel like not like Nerd. It could just feel incomplete.
Yeah.
And speaking of Star Fox, the most Variety did a most consumed songs of the year list, and so it's kind of just cool to see like of the year, what people were most listening to via streaming services, via actually buying the album. Apparently, people do that still, etc. And it's really, like, not much of a surprise. The top three are kind of what you would expect. Noted Little Bitch, Ed Sheeran's Shape of You, Despacito, and then Kendrick Lamar's Humble. But I guess if I have anything to say from all of these, I just still don't get why better songs aren't consumed more.
It's just because people are idiots. I mean, it's just like, why aren't better movies consumed? Why are all these stupid-ass fucking superhero movies consumed? Why are shitty books consumed instead of good books, if books are consumed at all? It's like, why are shitty video games played instead of good indie games? It's the same thing. It's just consumerism at its finest, where people are simpletons and like simple, easy-to-listen things instead of complicated, actually having to use your brains instead of going on Alpha Brain and using that to listen to something. And that's why we have the shit that we're in right now. So that's why you have this stupid fucking country of people not knowing how the hell to listen to, starting with the education system, because they don't know how to listen to music, because music isn't taught in fucking elementary, middle, and high school. Not enough, at least. So that way people are like, oh, this sounds dope. You don't even know what the fuck music is. There you go.
Thanksgiving dinner was really great.
I didn't even have a Thanksgiving dinner. I didn't even fucking eat Thanksgiving dinner. It was so early. Also, I'm a vegetarian, so that doesn't help.
You save your angry conversations about politics for the podcast. So there's no need for Thanksgiving dinner for you.
Deep state Sean right there.
That was phenomenal. But, yeah, I think my closing thought is really desperately wanting the same kind of energy that people put into... the same kind of marketing power that we put into all of these big songs, if we would put them into, yeah, like maybe some more women artists, maybe some more artists from different genres, artists, just different sounds. Because part of the reason these songs are as popular as they are is also just the marketing behemoth that their record labels have become. The fact that the record labels are able to say, play this song all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it so as many people hear it as possible. And so that's a thing too. It's just, they have that ability to do that. They have that control of the levers, and the internet has done what the internet's done. It's made it easier to see through all that stuff and discover things on your own, so we can like have podcasts and like have cool musical conversations like this. But yeah, that problem's still there and it's still ingrained, and we haven't fully made that transition yet to where as a whole the industry doesn't rely so much on this old bullshit, the same old bullshit, same old bullshit. But yeah, that's basically about it. We did the whole podcast in like 50 minutes or less.
50, yeah.
Yeah, less than 50 minutes.
Less than 50. Well, because there wasn't much, so.
Yeah, so really.
Kind of happens.
Kind of chill week. We're at the definitely tail end, but next week, you too.
You too. There's, yeah, there'll be some good stuff next
week. Yeah, like the year isn't over music wise. It's like slowing down, but it's not over. And then right at the end of the year, we'll also do the bless you. We'll also do the awards with everything. So that's look forward to, and we also got a nerd album to look forward to. So that's gonna be great. So yeah, I'm very excited, and we got a lot of good music this week too. I'm definitely gonna be listening to Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. I'm gonna be listening to that album a little bit more too, because I've been needing good alternative rock, and we've had a couple albums, especially come out this fall, that have provided pretty good alternative rock. And so I'm happy, I'm satisfied, that part of my musical itch has been satisfied.
No, that's good.
Pretty
much it.
Plugs, things, stuff. Listen to the We Made It podcast, listen to Get 23 Network. They'll be talking about all of the
Borussia Mönchengladbach just beat Bayern, so that was a big thing in the Bundesliga. I was quite happy because I like Gladbach, even though I like Bayern too.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, that's gotta be bittersweet.
Exactly, but it's like Gladbach are the underdogs, so I always root for my Kermit because they wear green and it's dope, and those are my boys. So, football.
Listen to the We Made It podcast on the Syndicate 22 Network.
It doesn't mean the three Germans listening to this podcast.
There's, you can search it up wherever you're listening to this podcast, or go to wemadeit.syndicate23.co. Follow me on anything, on facebook.com/danfromtheinternet, danfromtheinternet on Instagram, and danfromtheweb on Twitter. Sean?
I deleted everything, so... No, SW Suarez, if you can find me. I might be gone, I don't know.
I'm fine. Just slowly disappears from everything.
Right. If only.
Like, remember when Radiohead was announcing a moon-shaped
hole? Yeah, and they just deleted like everything. Like, can I do that? Can I just be like Johnny Greener, where like everything was just white, just nothing?
Yeah, please? Release an album.
What?
Yeah, you can release an album, though.
Alright, I got a piano here, we're good.
We'll,
I'll contact James Rhodes and be like, I'll record some Chopin and make an album and do it.
Will you rap with Post Malone?
Cheers, guys.
The amount of modifications needing to be made to the Post Malone party episode is rough. Barely got through that one with my career intact, but thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Always thank you for listening. Right. It's fun being in Metro Studios, but yeah, time for free speech.
Cheers.
Bye.